everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I can't tell you how excited I am, and you probably can sense this, that I have two people I have the utmost respect for. One is the district attorney, Timothy Shagru. He's taking the bull by the horns, and he's spinning the bull around right now because there's a ton of stuff going on. If you're reading the paper or you're listening to the news, you understand. I've allowed him to sleep, the DA, that is, from 3 to 5 a.m. The rest of the time, he's got to work. And with him is someone I've had the greatest admiration for, thought the world of her for many, many years. Her name is Heather Williamson, and she is the head of Kids Place. And I want this, be prepared for this show. You're going to hear some things that probably will upset you, and that's good, because the more people we can get upset and involved, the more, the stronger this movement will be. So I welcome both of you, and I have to say this. I just said to Heather, Mr. District Attorney, this can't be this old, this Kid's Place, because if that's what, over 30 years now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's we started it, I think, when I came back here at 93, I think we incorporated, it was 93 that we incorporated. So, that will make it 30 years that it's been operating with the executive director. We actually moved into the building, I must say it was October of 1995 when Jen Taney Stokes then took over as the first director of the Kids Place.
Yeah.
So, but it got incorporated.
94, she came in. I did my homework.
Well, I think we opened for business in 95 when we completed the construction. The construction was done with the Elfins, I want to say September of 1995.
For those people who don't know, one of the founders was the district attorney, Tim Shagru. The other one was a friend of mine, Joe Colias. We used to call him Colias.
Yeah, Joe Colias. You froze up on us, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joe Colias. And then, correct me, is it Robert Canal or Canali?
Yeah. There was Bob Canali. He was North Adams police detective at the time. I think he's retired now, but I think he still does some work in the juvenile court. He was an investigator for a while well. But he was up North Adams. So it was really, when I came on back in 1991, when I came back to the Berkshires, after having been prosecuting in Springfield since 1986, Jerry Downey had become elected. He sought me out in Springfield, asked me to come back to the Berkshires. So I transferred from the Hamden County DA's office to the Berkshire DA's office in 1991. So right off the bat, there was a backlog of child abuse cases. I had made prosecute child abuse cases nationwide. In 1990, that which was 1986. So Springfield was one of six sites in the United States that had a justice grant, and I was able to be part of that. We did it the hard way, and we were interviewing kids in less than convenient locations.
Right.
It was the first time they came around. So when I had been doing child abuse for 5 years, and I was offered to come back to the Berkshires. So one of the things I talked to Jerry Downey about, if I took that job, I wanted to start an advocacy center, Children's Advocacy Center in Berkshire County. And that was sort of a goal that I wanted to do. We had a center on at the hospital at Weston Street, on Weston Hospital on High Street in Springfield. But that sort of went away when I left and Dr. Bailey left. In 1991. So that sort of folded. I wanted something that was going to sustain itself. So it wouldn't just be individual specific, that it would have its own embodiment. And that's what's happened. And it's gone through different different developments. And it has just really bloomed even more recently under Heather's leadership. So we're really proud that here we are. It actually opened when I was in private practice. I was still continuing to get it going even after I left the DA's office, because I left the DA's office in 94. And then obviously we opened in 95. So I continued to do the work even afterwards. But I made it so that you had to be off the board after 10 years, so that we would have new blood coming in and constant turnaround.
That's so smart.
Yeah. And Joe, what happened in 91 when I came here, we had a backlog of cases. So we had to get the public to be aware of child abuse. So one of the things we did, we used local radio and we did PSAs all the time, public service announcements. And we were talking about child abuse and we got the message out to the community. But we had to win in the courtroom. So Joe and I had a couple of really big Pittsfield cases. Bob Canelli and I had some North Adams cases that were all in Superior Court. But Joe and I had some big ones that were coming out of Pittsfield, one of which led to a conviction of an individual that got 72 to 108 years, which got, you know, really big marks nationwide, because people didn't see those kind of numbers. So it was a horrible case with five kids and horrible abuse. And he ended up seriously convicted. We took those convictions to make sure the public was aware of this is what's happening. People didn't believe that people were molesting and having sex with children. So those cases really gave us legitimacy. From that, we built on that and used the public to be able to try to do a grassroots and get the kids' place off the ground. So there's a long story to it, but it's a very interesting, and it's a great Berkshire story. It's a great Pittsfield story.
It is, and I'm going to bring Heather in here in a second. Heather and I were chatting offline, my work with violent youthful offenders, I'm going to tell you 90% of them had some form of child abuse, from severe to neglect, going to bed hungry, going to bed frightened, and mommy's boyfriend coming in. I applaud another lady, because the Polish princess and I worked on the fundraiser for years. There, Krista Collier, what an asset she was to it, bringing it again, the festivities of putting the fundraiser together, but the work that's done behind the scenes. And I'm going to ask Heather, and I don't want to catch her flat-footed, but you made an interesting point, and I think it needs to come out before somebody changes the dial, and that is, Heather, because people, you, Mr. District Attorney, you understand, you can tell people till you're blue in the face that it happens in Pittsfield, and they go, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Right.
Well, Heather, how many cases?
Oh, I first want to start by saying thank you so much, Bill, for having us on today. Child abuse is such a huge topic that we need to continue to talk about, as the district attorney just stressed. And we are just about going into April, which is Child Abuse Prevention Month. And I am so thankful. And I could listen to the DA talk over and over again about how this beautiful little agency started. And I just got chills. I think of the thousands of families in the over 30 years of this agency and the work that was done. Now, Berkshire County Kids Place was the first children's advocacy center in the state of Massachusetts. And now we are one of 12. We are a network of resources. So it is amazing what is happening in the state of Massachusetts around child abuse. But we're also one of just District Attorney's Office, prosecution, the Department of Children and Families, law enforcement, and here in Berkshire County, we have an incredible law enforcement represented here. With all 32 cities and towns are involved in our cases, state, federal, whatever it takes to get. We also have a team of mental health clinicians right here, are highly trained in trauma. And we also have medical. We work with the sexual assault nurse examiner program. So we can, our numbers fluctuate. But we can serve 300 plus kids in mental health. We do forensic interviews. We could do 100, 150 a year. So we are unfortunately very busy.
Well, Heather brings up a great point, is that when we envisioned this way back in, I envisioned 1991. And then when I came back here, I was getting it off the ground in 93, we spent those first 2 years, as I was explaining, that getting the public behind us and raising funds and taking small amounts of money and building them into bigger amounts of money. You know, taking small grants, we got a grant from the United Way, we got a grant from the city of Pittsfield, all about $10,000 a piece, hired a grant writer, and then getting more grants that got us, you know, some foundation money,
yeah,
got us off the ground. But what we envisioned back then has really morphed into so much more now. And when Heather's talking about, we wanted a medical component. We've added that. We wanted a mental health component. We've added that. That's stuff that was our dream vision of doing it. And you mentioned a good point, like there were great people on the way, Krista Collier being one of them, Jen Tanner,
yeah,
the first one who did a wonderful, yeah, job, Krista Collier being the next one. But what Heather has brought into and the past years now has been tremendous, because we're developing even bigger. So the services we're providing to kids, it's not just, it's also domestic violence now. It's kids that observe domestic violence. It's a domestic violence center as well. So that's sort of morphed into that a little bit more. It does more than what we had originally anticipated. Because, Bill, when I was doing this, when Joe and I were doing this, and Bob and I were doing it, we would do it in investigations in the basement of the Pittsfield police, Pittsfield police offices, and on Allen Street in Pittsfield. And it was just, we had a one-way mirror down there, and it was done up as nice as we could possibly make it, but it's in a basement, and it was embarrassing. And North Adams, we did it at Old Haskins School. We had a room there that we had again, in the basement. So it was a real problem. And when I'm talking about children that have been severely abused, and some cases I dealt with where they were even physical violence, not just sexual, immersion rooms, or people that are put in boiling water, there was just some awful cases. I'm taking these little 4 or 5 year old kids and bring them into a basement. It just wasn't right. And it was awful for them to have to go through this whole process. So I wanted to get a center that was going to be close to the courthouse where they can wait for trials. And right now it's right down the street from the courthouse. So
yes, it is.
They can be there. They can wait during that period of time. I can show them how the courtroom works. We can bring them in ahead of time, get them more comfortable with where they're going to be sitting. Now, these people have gone through awful abuse with somebody, yeah, that's in a position of authority. It's usually a parental figure. And these people,
yes,
have such power and control over them. And it's hard for a child to talk about that, let alone talk about a sexual experience at such a young age. And to do that in front of the person that did it to them in an open courtroom is not an easy thing to do. So, and when we're trying to interview them and get detailed information from them, we didn't have the settings that were appropriate. And then we would have 7, 8 interviews. A doctor may do it. A mental health professional may interview a child. DCF would have to, in those days with DSS, would have to interview the child. Police would interview a child. The lawyers would interview the child. It was just so much. These kids were overwhelmed. It was hard to believe we could get any convictions or we could get any of these cases to justice. And we found out selfishly that this worked for prosecution, and it also worked for each of the disciplines that Heather just talked about. All these disciplines work together for this child so that we get, and most importantly, so we get true, honest disclosures. We also weed out false disclosures like doing it that way. So there's ways that we can handle this stuff much more professionally and weed out stuff, that needs to be done that way. So it is handled with a tremendous amount of effort and work by all parties, and it eases the trauma for children. And the people at the kids' place, and they've got a big staff now. They've taken over the entire building now, the third floor. I think next thing you know, should be putting an addition on the roof because that's how much it's expanded. But if you saw this building when I bought it back in 1994, it was the old Red Cross building. It was a scary place to go ahead. You go down the basement and all the IV bottles or hooks are hanging from the walls. It was a scary looking place. But it is a beautiful, beautiful, child-friendly environment there. And it's designed for different age groups.
And it was a brilliant idea to make it, in my opinion, a brilliant idea to make it a home atmosphere.
Right.
Not
Right.
a clinical building, not an office building, definitely not a police station.
Well, you know, it was a brilliant idea. It didn't come from me. It came from Bud Kramer in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
Because Bud Kramer was a U.S. congressman who was a DA at the time, who became very close friends with myself. I had been down there a number of occasions, and I adopted this. One thing about being a lawyer, we have a tendency to take other people's stuff and run with it. So we like to plagiarize a lot. So
well,
we took this program
it's
down
what
there.
You were going to do, he just thought of it first.
He thought, but he also, I saw how it was working. And so their community, very similar to ours, they were Nassau, we were GE. It was all engineers. It was about the rolling hills of northern Alabama, rolling hills of Western Mass.
Yeah,
same population, same type of medium income, same type of situation. And we were seeing the same crimes they were seeing. So it worked to me. It was the perfect way to do it. So I took their protocol, and we were not only the first in Massachusetts, the first in New England, first in the Northeast. So I was, and they were happy that we were doing it because we were coming into an inroad to an area that they hadn't been in yet. So I give all the credit goes back to Bud Kramer from Huntsville, Alabama. But we just took those ideas and implemented them to Berkshire County. But again, these were just ideas, and we took them and they got working, and people have made an advance.
Yeah.
But what's happened in the last 5 years to 10 years has been tremendous. It has really blossomed into more than we thought we could possibly do. And now we have even more, because now we've added, which we didn't envision in 1991. I never would have thought we'd have internet. I had a beeper, not a cell phone. There were no cell phones.
Right.
I had to go to a pay phone. And we had rotary dial. Things were different those days, but we never envisioned that we would have the type of to catch a predator cases we have now, the internet crimes we have with child pornography, the stuff that we are seeing kids being victimized is much more dramatic with social media and with the internet than we ever could imagine. So I'm so happy that we did this ahead of time, because we didn't know it, but we were prepared for the stuff coming forward by having an agency like this. So now Heather works with that, and that's going to be a big part of April that we're going to be kicking off, and she can talk a little bit more about that.
Yes. Thank you so much, DA. That was a great segue right into why we are here today, because the district attorney's office and Kids Place has been working extremely hard on internet safety. Now, that's a big loaded word. What does that mean, internet safety? Well, our kids are extremely vulnerable online.
Yeah. Yes.
And they are very vulnerable, and now they have access to cell phones and computers, and they are the DA can talk a little bit in a minute about some of the cases that we've been seeing. But it is imperative that we get out the message and start to really train parents and children on how to keep themselves safe online. You know, there's so many different facets to internet safety. We have there's cyberbullying that we have. We also have, predators can find kids just by their GPS on photos, which is very, very scary. Folks can really find kids in locations, and so which in turn make kids, again, very, very vulnerable. Kids are exposed to inappropriate content, nudity, violence, you know, at a whole different rate, and parents don't even know it's happening. It might be happening right in the same
room. Exactly right.
And, you know, and then kids nowadays, it's just something that they do. They're exposed to sexting, and they're sending images and messages out on the internet, and they think it might be just going to one person, but it is not. And our kids are so vulnerable. And so images that they would only want one person to see could go out to the whole school. And
right.
It's just sad when that happens. And then also kids are very vulnerable to viruses on their computer too, because they might be going to different sites. So what we aim to do in April is really get out some messaging on some resources that are out there for children and parents on how to, you know, make sure that they're safe online.
Oh, cool.
And Heather brings up a great point when it comes to that, because kids will have, they'll go on these sites because they're curious and they're young. They go on these sites that are loaded with viruses. Those viruses then attack their stuff. And we also have a lot of artificial intelligence that's coming into the system now, that we're seeing a lot of that, where they'll take a child's photograph and put it on some other image. So
Yeah.
it is really alarming if you don't stay on top of it. And we're trying to stay on top of legislation. Legislation just passed last year regarding sexting. We need to get a better bill on addressing upskirting and taking photographs. We have cases going on right now where it's only a misdemeanor still. People that are filming children and women and even men inappropriately in bathrooms and whatnot. So we have to keep up the legislation with that as well. But on the front lines, we need to let the public know that these things are occurring, because biggest thing is prevention. Prevention comes from parents at home, the community, people in the community being aware of this stuff. The more we can share what's happening for internet safety, the more we can make our kids safe. Because quite frankly, the kids know their way around a computer and a phone more than I would ever in a million years. So they've grown up with it. They were pretty much born with them, and they're so tech savvy. But the viruses come in, that could cause them a lot of problems on there. On top of that, just sending a picture around, like Heather has indicated,
Yeah.
somebody send a picture thinking that it's going to stay with one person. Well, now we've got revenge porn bills, and we have other things that we're doing legislation to go after people that harm kids by doing that. And also, we all realize that these images can go out there and be there forever and disseminate throughout the
Forever.
world. And it is the WWW, it's the World Wide Web. So it's everywhere. So you've got to be vigilant, and we're working with it. We've been working with the FBI in the past. In the summertime, we go to the camps. We've been doing that the last 2 years. Then since I've been in office, we've put them up at Camp Russell. We brought the FBI in to explain the internet the issues with internet crimes for kids already. This is going to be a next segue and transition into that with our public awareness for Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is April. So we're kicking that on April 1st, which will have a kickoff at the kids' place.
Yes.
If you would allow me, I would like to take this program and put it up on my TV show that airs on PCTV,
Sure.
and
Thank
let it
you.
run the month of April.
That'd be great.
I'm very committed to this. Heather knows, and you know, mainly my background. When I was a cop, we had a few child abuse cases, and we didn't have the mechanism or the expertise that you all have today. And we were dependent upon the DA. Heather and I are a lot older than you, DSS for input and expertise and all
Right.
that. But what you've done, and I just have to let the people, they have what's known, and they started this way back in 1995. And I know some of you weren't born then, but it was a great year. You should have been here. But the MDT, multiple disciplinary team, now called SAIN. I have no idea what that stands for, but Heather does. Child abuse investigations begin renovation by a whole program in. What the DA said early on in the show, for those, this started as a little acorn to help out. And now it is a huge oak tree. The sad part about it is we need it.
Yeah,
That's the
it's
sad
sad that we
part.
need it, but we got to address it. The only way we can have
Yes, no, I'm.
we could cast the net out right now, and I could tell you we could catch a bunch of people that will be sexual predators that will be
Yeah.
trying to get to children. We're doing it all the time. My office does
Yeah.
it. I say police, and we're known that we're doing it. Everybody knows we're doing it. But boy, we just throw the line out. We're going to catch them, and they're right there. So that's we're seeing such a big uptick in these people that are coming in, and they think they're coming in to meet a child. They're actually meeting a state trooper, and they're coming in, and they're coming with sexual toys and devices. It's awful. They start coming in with booze, and they think they're meeting a child, and we just throw that out, and we keep catching them and catching them, and want to keep doing that. But it just shows you how prevalent and how much the internet is, and that's why the internet safety is so important. Because when we just do it, casting that out there, we're not catching all of them. So
That's
we're
right.
getting kids that are becoming victims. And to answer your question, SANE, SANI, Sexual Abuse Intervention Network.
Thank you.
Sex, there you go. There's your, and that actually started in
The thing I'll
Springfield.
remember, I don't remember where I parked the car, so you'll have to send me
Yeah.
that every morning. The but good, no, I'm sorry, Heather, but the one thing that I want people, don't change the channel. I know this isn't a fluffy, huffy, happy course, But you need to know. If you're a grandparent, you need to know. If you're a parent, you need to know. If you're an uncle, you're an aunt, you need to know.
Yeah, the only way we catch these people, Bill, I've always said one thing. It's a really important thing to remember. The motto I always say is that silence is the ally of an abuser. The more we're quiet about it, we're helping the abuser. Silence is their weapon. So they try to keep kids quiet. They do that by buying them stuff, they're embarrassing them. It's just different ways of doing intimidation. But silence is a big problem. The more we talk about them, when we focus on it, because one of the things I ran into when I was first trying these cases in the early, the mid 80s was that people didn't believe children would be abused.
I
So
know.
we try to tell them that, yes, this happens. And then when we have a confession in a case and say, oh, yeah, the guy admitted to this is what he did. It took a little while. And I would actually have to show graphic photographs and pictures of kids that were hurt and abused and broken arms and serious physical abuse and sexual abuse with tears and whatnot that I have to show people, look, this is happening. And hang them over the head. And then people, once they realize to see that, they're here to help and they want to help. And we need the public help in doing this. We need education to prevent these crimes from taking place. And that's one thing that's great about Berkshire County. Another reason why I knew it would survive here and do so well is because our community is so giving back. There are so many people that donate money. There's so many people that volunteer times. The amount of volunteer work we get out of this is incredible because we live in a great county. The people care about their community. But you're right. Don't close your eyes to this because we close the eyes to it. All we're doing is we're aiding a child molester because that's what they do. Silence is their biggest ally.
We know that there are dangers out there on the internet. And, some parents, even myself, when my grandkids get on their phone, I'm so worried that something is going to happen to them. And so really part of our message that we're going to be putting out in April is really empowering parents and caregivers, teachers, anyone who is in contact with kids to just start opening up that communication and letting kids know and empower them to be able to come to them. Now we know kids are curious. We know they're impulsive. We know that they are going to take pictures of themselves or that something will get out on the internet. And we just want them to reach out to an adult, someone who can help them, because they just fear that they're going to get in trouble or their phone is going to be taken away or something punitive is going to happen to them. They don't say anything and then it's out of control. And so kids are feeling so vulnerable and just depressed, and it's just overwhelming for them if a picture of them that they don't want goes out and it's in the cyber world and they just have no control. So if it's okay, I'd like to share that graphic that I showed earlier because there is a resource for kids that have a nude that may go on the internet. And so the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children have a website where children and families can go to get help, and it's called Take It Down. So I'm gonna share that now, Bill, if that's okay.
That's okay. Go ahead.
All right. So this is one of our billboards that we're gonna be putting up. And it's having nudes online is scary,
How cool.
but there is help. And there's a website down there. It goes directly to this website where the National Children or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And it's not foolproof, but it helps. It helps.
Yeah, and you know
So
what, Heather, just to interrupt you, but one of the most important things, if we get anything out of this conversation we're having today, is what Heather said. If you have children, grandkids, sit them down. I do this at the DARE program all the time. I say it every single time, and I'll drill it into everybody's heads. Talk to your children. Talk to your grandchildren. Talk to your kids. Sit them down each day. Just say, hey, what happened today? What's going on in your world? And let them
Right.
know that it's okay to tell them things. Don't get angry at them if something happens that they made a mistake because they're children, they make mistakes. Don't get angry at them. Help them navigate this and get through this. Tell them, you can tell me whatever you tell me, I'm not going to get angry about. We will fix it and we'll get through it. If more and more people do that, the more people we can reach. And that's what Heather was just talking about initially. And I really want to stress that point. If we get our public out there to learn one thing, talk to these kids. They are our future.
Yes.
And the only way we're going to know is if you sit them down and let them give them a chance to have that conversation, whether it's 15 minutes at night or in the morning. just get a chance to listen to what they are saying, because most times kids will let it slip out that they need help. So listen to them. Don't be angry at them, and share that information, because this is such a good program to have it come out that there are things available. And kids sometimes think they are alone and that there is no option, no way to go. And that's why we have kids harm themselves. So it's important that we listen to them. So I really appreciate what Heather just said.
We're going to have to take a 1 minute break. I want, please, please, I'm begging you, stay tuned. Come back. You can learn something. And I told you up front, this isn't a chuckle show. We do a lot of chuckle shows and a lot this, but I'm so committed to this because of all the kids that I dealt with, regardless of their crimes, they were left to be, some of them, I would use the word tortured for years, mentally, physically, and they acted out. We'll be right back. I am so honored and privileged to have with me Heather Williamson, the head of the Kids Place, and the district attorney, Timothy Shagrew, a guy who's out there beating the streets to make us safe. And that's a compliment, sir. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl CDs and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM. Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're right back. Hey, here we are. I'm back. This is Timothy Shagrew. He is the district attorney of Berkshire County. And with him is Heather Williamson, one of the most spectacular people you're ever going to meet in your life. She runs Kids Place, and she runs it with a head and a heart to help. And the DA, I have to give him this credit. I don't have to, but I think he deserves it. He and a guy by the name of Joe Colas and another guy, Barb Canali, they started Kids Place back when I had hair and a lot less weight. And back in the early 90s, and it's been through a continuous growth stage now. Heather has brought it to another level. They have all kinds of programs going on. We'll go over some of them. Here's the point, and then I'll turn it back to Heather and the DA. Bottom line, it's happening. Now, you may not want to know about it. You may not want to get involved. But the DA has a very good saying. Your silence helps promote a perpetrator. And in that mix, a child is being hurt. So with April is Child Abuse Month, Awareness Month. And Heather, you have, you're just up to your ears in this. We have a deal too for kiddos. Heather, you want to put that screen up? And
yes,
this is really because kids, if they mess up, we have to listen. They know they messed up. You don't have to punish them. They're punished. Here's what I found out from my. They punish themselves worse than we could ever punish them.
Right.
Many of them.
And they get scared. And kids get so scared. They feel like they, you know, they are involved in creating the chaos around it.
Yes.
And it just spreads like wildfire when it's on the internet. And kids lose control so quickly.
Yes.
So you are absolutely right. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. And we are doing a campaign in collaboration with the district attorney's office, who hit the ground running a little over 2 years ago. As soon as he got into office, we have been working so hard to protect children. And but we are centering our message in April around internet safety. And this is another one of our billboards that we're going to be putting up. And it's really to empower children to think before they send. And we know children are impulsive, but this is another one that we are going to be putting up. And it's really, you know, think about the consequences. Keep your private parts private. You know, we have to tell that. We all.
Yes, that's excellent.
Yeah, we all have to get comfortable talking to children about it. They're exposed to things on the internet that are inappropriate. So they may think it's okay to send a picture of themselves because of something else they've seen on the internet. And there is consequences where children will be, it could have very serious consequences for children if they're sharing inappropriate pictures. So this is just another one of our billboards that we're going to be put up in collaboration with the district attorney's office.
Yeah, you start disseminating this stuff, it becomes a felony, and that's a problem. And so, you know, we're trying to get kids so they understand and realize that, you know, and there is a new statute that came up regarding sexting. So it's important that we let people be aware that it's out there and that it can be a crime as well. So, and they may not realize it, but you sent a picture of somebody else around, that's very damaging. So we're trying to do this preventive work, and it is a prevention month. So it's perfect to be rolling this out. But we always have to be making sure we're being doing our due diligence to make sure we're protecting our kids. Because we know one thing, we're trying to break the cycle of abuse. Most abusers have been abused themselves in the past. Right. It's a learned behavior that happens somewhere along the line. We need to break that cycle, to break that chain, and help kids navigate this. They're afraid. They're scared. If something may have happened, like I said before, listen to them. Don't be angry at them. We'll get them through this situation. It's not going to be detrimental if you work with them. But it's so important, for, like you said, Bill, listen to our kids. They're telling us stuff. Listen to them. Have that conversation with them. And don't be angry with what you hear. And don't show reaction. I realized one thing when I was getting kids ready for trial, we're testifying, when they would tell me stuff, I could never react. When I would see kids that had, you know, their ears ripped and torn for they were held and abused, or I saw physical injuries on them, I couldn't react. I had to just show that everything's okay. If you react poorly, then shut down. And we got to let the kids know it's okay to tell them things that we don't want to hear, that we don't want to believe exist, but they do. So you got to listen to kids and not react and not show them love and comfort and support, because that's what our kids need, is love, comfort, and support. There's never enough of that. So our goal here is to let this message go around, not to fear monger, but to make sure people are aware that stuff exists out there. But let's work with it together and take an optimistic, positive attitude going forward. I'm a very optimistic, positive person. I like to think our community can kind of wrap around this, help do the preventive work. The more we do preventive work, that's one less child that we have to see at the kids' place. And our goal is to give Heather no numbers. Down to zero, but we know that's just not realistic. It's like saying we'll never have crime, but it's going to exist out there, especially crimes of sexual nature, which is an urge that unfortunately oversees people's common thoughts. and we have to work to protect our children. And I think this community can do it. I think we're right for it, but we have to stay on top of it all the time. And that's why we appreciate you, Bill, giving us a chance to spread this message around. I'll tell you, if I didn't have radio and in the 1990s to spread this message around, the kids' place would have gotten off the ground. We were at the mall all the time. We were giving out balloons. Yeah. We did public awareness. But the amount of stuff that it takes to get this to the community's attention is incredible. And we appreciate you doing that for us so that we can let people know that we're doing a lot of work in this office that people can't see and they don't know.
Right.
We're doing a lot of preventive work. We're doing a lot of work that avoids crimes, that also gets people into treatment and to help before we get there. And that's our goal, is we can reach some of these kids before it becomes an issue. We can get them into counseling and get them break this cycle, break this this chain of abuse, and help kids have healthy, beautiful lives. Because, you know, they're 100% of our future. You know, we say that they make up 40% of our population, but they're 100% of our future. So, you know, and that was the phrase we used in the 90s to get the message across. And we have to believe in our future with our kids, and we've got to give them the tools to navigate. And it's tough enough for us to navigate it, but it's really difficult for kids who are confused.
And I will also say this to the people, and I think it needs to be said, if you don't mind. This guy, the district attorney, Timothy Shagru, will prosecute. There'll be no slip sliding away. He's prosecuted. I mean, if you read the Eagle, if you keep up, he's had these cases in court. His team has gone in there and won prosecutions. Let me say this. One justice for the kiddo.
Right.
I mean, justice for the victim.
I personally took over that and did that Mainwaring case, which was Olympian that had abused these children as the DA. And usually the DA, I don't have the time to actually have a heavy caseload, but I personally took that case because it was an Olympian who conned all these young boys at the time and a camp up in Beckett and abused these children. And I personally took that case and put him in prison for a long, long time. And other states where he abused kids in California and New York, which they couldn't do because we had a statute in our state. Again, because we keep working on the legislation, we had a statute in our state that told the statute of limitations if they left the state of Massachusetts and hadn't returned. That happened in that case, and I personally took that case and make sure we prosecuted it. And I prosecuted cases for, you know, since 1986 on putting people in prison, lengthy terms of prison for child abuse. You know, sometimes people see the numbers are not always as high as they may want to be. Sometimes that's because we have to negotiate when we have a child that can't testify. But most times you're seeing big numbers coming. You're gonna rape a child. You're gonna hurt a child. You're gonna sexually assault a child. We're gonna put you in prison. So, you know, get that straight. But what we like to do is reach the kids before it happens and try to prevent some of this stuff from happening.
Yes.
And educate the public on what's going on. And that's what Heather's doing, and she's doing one tremendous job of doing that with her staff. The fact that we have mental health components to it is helping these kids out. The fact that we don't just deal with the children, we deal with the families that are associated with this, because it's a familial problem. Everybody else in the family gets affected by one child being abused within the family. So they have the resources for them, and what they do over in that center is just tremendous. And it's right downtown. It's right next to the courthouse. It's very convenient. But the services they provide to families, not just the victim itself, him or herself, but to families.
And I just do want, from my background, working with the youth, generational abuse. And I think the DA alluded to it early on in this, that so many abusers have been abused.
Right.
Is the children themselves. And I saw it to the point I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. In some cases, it was third and fourth generation. I can remember a father coming in and said, "I wished I had been sentenced as a kid, because it would have got me out of the abusive situation." And instead, he got probation. And I'm thinking, whoa. You know, and again, we have a team now. We have Heather. We have the DA. He has a state police team. Plus, he's working collaboratively. That's a big word. I usually don't use those. But collaboratively with all local and state and federal law enforcement. So it's a team approach at a horrific problem that's gone on since the beginning of time, I think.
Yeah, you're right. It has always been there. But, you know, what's happened is that we've now, as a society, starting in the 1980s, we started to realize that we weren't going to tolerate that behavior anymore. And we made the mandatory reporting laws that increased the amount of cases that we're bringing forward. We're now working on how do we ease the trauma for a child that goes through that? How do we give them counseling so that we break the cycle? And it's not just like one or two people at the kids' place. It's a big, big team. There's a lot of individuals that are working really hard over there on a daily basis. The MDT coordinator, which is a multidisciplinary team. And multidisciplinary team, I should explain that. It just means those are the different agencies, DCF, local law enforcement, the DA's office, mental health professionals from the Breen Center or whatever agency may be, all sorts of these, and nurse practitioners and doctors all working together for a child. That's a team. It's a multidisciplinary team. We all have different disciplines. I'm in it for prosecution. I'm in it for law enforcement. DCF has got issues regarding family issues. So, and mental health, we're dealing with child's mental health. So all these disciplines are working together to prevent crime, to help kids get through the process, to break the cycle and do all that. So the team she has over there is tremendous. It's just not one or two people. In the beginning it was, because we couldn't afford it much, but it's blossomed into a full booming staff. I don't even know how many people you have on staff, Rachel. You want to talk a little bit about what the Kids Place does on a day-to-day basis?
Yes. Well, thank you for bringing up the team. Actually, the Kids Place team is pretty small. We have 8 full-time employees and 2 part-time. But what makes us so mighty is exactly what the district attorney Shagru just said, is that we work as a multidisciplinary team. So we have the power of the Department of Children and Families behind us, the district attorney's office, the all the 32 cities and towns, from all the law enforcement, from state police, federal if we need it in some of our CSET cases. And then the medical, the sexual assault nurse examiner program, which is run through the Department of Public Health, and then our highly trained trauma-focused mental health clinician team that we have here. We also have offices in North Adams and also Great Barrington. We try to make sure that we can connect with families where in the community that they come from, so they don't have to travel to Pittsfield. We try to make it as easy as possible. We also provide services via Zoom. So, you know, we are mostly rural out here in Berkshire County. So we are just trying to make it accessible to all families. And all of our services, everything that we've been talking about, are all free to families. They don't have to come and show a card or any of that. It's just, our services are free. And, you know, the team working together, and why we decided as a team to really focus on internet, because the internet is involved in all of our cases. And it we just see time and time again the vulnerability. And parents ask, what can I do? It just seems so daunting. How can I keep my child safe? You know, because it's so private when a child's looking at a computer or a phone. And, you know, I'll bring up the communication is so important, is to keep that line of communication open with kiddos. And then also set up smart securities on your cell phones. That's important for parents to do. There are securities that are set up in the phones that can help them to restrict where the children are going. And then also, if there's an update on your phone, a lot of these updates have securities built in. So that's important for parents to do, is to make sure you're getting into your child's phone and putting in it, doing the updates and making sure the securities are all set up and up to date. And then also look at the apps that your kids are going on. There's so many, and they just keep popping up. I can't even, you know, I'm in this line of work, and I can't even keep up with all of these apps that these kids are going on. And they're able to share information, and it seems to a child that it's easily shared and it could be taken down, but it's not. And it, once they put it on there, it is on for good. And we've got resources like Take It Down, but it's still not foolproof. So just want to empower parents to say, it's okay. It's okay to update your phone. It's okay to put security on, but talk to your children and tell them why, because there are people on the internet that do not have good intentions when it comes to our children.
Yeah. And
there is a book out. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Bill.
There's a book out. I highly suggest get it out of the library. It's called Anxious Generation. And this guy is so, and I'll remember his name when we sign off because I don't remember it now. But he's the author. It's been on the New York Times Best. What I remember is this. Don't let your kiddos take their phones to bed. And have your computers in a central location in the home, not in their bedrooms. Because one of the things teenage kids are really they're up half the night on this stuff.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of this stuff happens. That's when a lot of trolling is going on, is in the middle of the night. But it's important, and Heather says it right, is that, first off, CSEC, when she's talking about that, means child sexual exploitation. So I hate acronyms.
Yeah, sorry. We live in the world.
Yes, exactly. But the important thing is the parental controls are so important that you do utilize them. They are on there. But more importantly, that's not going to do it enough. You've got to look at the phone, like Heather's saying, is that you're allowing a child to have access to a phone, but you're still a parent and you still have to monitor and control that. So the parental controls are good, but you should be looking at what type of apps they are downloading, what's on those apps, what type of context that you have, you know, and there's so many things you can control. And I'm still a believer when a child's, you know, is young children, we should have their locator on there so we know where they're at because they have phones with them all the time. That is really important when you hit the teenage years.
Yeah.
So as parents to keep my kids are all in their 30s now, but you know, in the day we would want to make sure we know where they were and what was going on, because if you're active in their lives, good chances that they're not going to get themselves into a bad situation. But so the location services is important to keep an eye on that, but to look at what they're doing and what they're talking about, what they see on there, and if they want to have a phone, that's part of the deal. You just have to, as a parent, make that part of the condition of having a phone, is that you have a right to review it and see it. Because if you allow unchecked conduct on there, it can open up the door to a lot of bad problems. So it really is we're reaching not just the kids, we're also reaching the parents. And the parents should know that, look what's on those phones, look what's happening. It could be detrimental to your child's life for a long time. So if someone were to share a photograph or something, and just got to make sure that they're making wise choices. They're young children. They're learning as they're going. And we want to give them the freedom to learn and be able to develop. And I think it's a wonderful thing.
That's exactly.
We have to watch out for the pitfalls that exist in them. And internet crimes are huge. Fraudulent crimes are huge on that. They can get people's information, their data. And so there's just so many things that they can get hurt financially, even before they've even started to run their first bank account, that they could still get hurt going down the road by the information that they give out, you know, innocuously. So it's important to be aware that the internet's a wonderful thing. It's a great way to get resources and get information, but it's also a very dangerous thing because people can reach out and there are a lot of bad people, and it's an easy way to get in there and to do harm to people if people want to do that. And there are people out there that do want to do that. That's why I'm in this business.
And again, I think the DA and Heather have been saying this through this interview. Become part of your children's lives. You know, the poll I take, what a big spender I am. So I took the Polish princess out to 99, a date night. And anyhow, here's a family at the table across from us. Mom and dad and three kids. All of them. No talking. No talking. And I think back, and not that my childhood was perfect, but I think back, we had to be at the table at 5 o'clock. Now, I know that's not always permissible for people or acceptable because mom and dad are working two jobs or whatever. But try to find a common time. This is what I'm pulling out of my head from the ones that I find a common time. I don't care if it's 7:30 in the morning when they get up, where you can spend 20 minutes or a half hour talking and listening.
You said it early on, Bill. Listening is the key. You know, I mean, when you were in the business, you know, you knew listening to the kids. It's how we learn stuff. And so very important. But again, it's how you react to listening. You've got to also adapt yourself to react appropriately when listening, even though you may internally.
Don't respond.
Yeah, no response. Even internally, you may be.
But then what?
Yeah, you know, you can't do that because then they won't talk to us. But they need to talk to us. And We need to build up their trust. So, you know, I think back when I was a kid, when, you know, and the same as we probably when you were a kid, we were out in the streets having fun and walking around playing ball and stuff. And it's just so much more outside forces that are in play now.
Yeah.
So much more to navigate and deal with the internet and just so many other complicated issues that exist that didn't exist when we were younger, when it was a simpler time. But it's a complicated time now for youth growing up. And they're surrounded by different things that are happening. And unfortunately, they see a lot of hatred and anger out there. And so, you know, we've got to try to protect them as best we can from what's out there.
One last story before, and then I'll let you guys close out. I had this kiddo, and he self-proclaimed discipline problem, behavioral issues, had detention every day, could not, and he emphasized, I could not leave the school before 4:30. And I said, it sounds like you're proud of that. And he goes, no, but it, you know, I was a behavioral problem. And I said, it sounds like you're proud of that. He said, I said, you didn't want to go home? He said, let me tell you, my home, my mother was a crack dealer. My house has been broken into by other crack dealers, crack addicts, cops. Cops have handcuffed me and thrown me out in the bed. The safest, and I say this to teachers, the safest place in my life was school. So that's sometimes what you get from listening. Heather, closing remarks.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having us on today. I just appreciate it so much and all that you do for our community. It's truly an honor. And I am honored to be the director of the Berkshire County Kids Place of Violence Prevention Center. It's been around for over 30 years, and we have a lot of work to do in our community. And I look forward to partnering with the DA for every moment he's in that office. So thank you again for having us.
Thank you. Mr. District Attorney, I can't thank you enough.
Listen, Bill, I appreciate it. Heather, doing a great job. We really appreciate your work and your efforts there. It really is so important. I hate hearing it's over 30 years old because I was a kid when I was doing it.
Yeah. When you just said to me, remember back when you were a kid, I can remember that. I can't remember where the refrigerator is. I want to thank you both. Well, I want to thank you both for all that you're doing and something that's near and dear to all, should be all our hearts. And that's our kids. They are the future of America. And if someone's hurting them, this guy will take care of them. I promise you that. God bless and take care of each other. We just talked for that. Each other, that's all that we have. If you see something, say something. And be strong. And thank you both for everything you do every day. And it's an honor to have you on this program. And I so appreciate all you do. To my audience and viewers, think about this. Get involved. There'll be a lot of ways to get involved, and we'll keep you posted on them. Bye, kids. And remember, I tell you to behave yourselves, but I can't ask people to do things I'm incapable of. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye.